Chapter 18. Faults. 235. Now you are like a withered leaf, and death's messengers await you. You are at the threshold of death, yet you have no provisions for your journey. 236. So strive quickly and wisely to make yourself an island. Purify your faults till you are stainless, then you can arrive at the level of the holy ones in the upper realms. Note: this island rises free of the choppy waters of samsara, and so grants some respite from the provocations of daily life. Cutting down worldly involvement to the minimum, one gains time in which to recognize and renounce identification with the taints and faults which have become habitual. 237. The end of your life has come. You have arrived close to the King of Death. There is no interruption to this journey, and you have no provisions to take. 238. So strive quickly and wisely to make yourself an island. Purify your faults till you are stainless, then you will not experience birth and death again. 239. Step by step, little by little, moment by moment, the wise person removes his stains until clear, just as a silversmith removes impurities from silver. 240. Just as rust emerges from iron and then eats away at its source, so it is for those with bad conduct, as the deeds arising from themselves lead them down to the lower realms. 241. Non-performance brings faults to recitation. Lack of repairs brings faults to houses. Laziness brings faults to healthy appearance. Carelessness is a fault in watchmen. 242. Bad behaviour is the taint of women. Meanness is the taint of benefactors. In this world and in the next, all kinds of harm arise from taints. 243. Worse than all other taints is the taint of ignorance. Monks, completely abandon this taint. Be free of all taints. Note: ignorance refers to the ongoing activity of ignoring how things are. It is not an absence of information, but a non-attending to what is occurring in the simplicity of its occurrence. Due to this, the actual, although present, is not revealed to us. Instead of attending, we dream of other events, other times, or simply smother what is with our fantasies of how we think and feel it is. This is the activity of self-blinding which keeps us in the dark forest of samsara. 244. Life is easy for the shameless, for those who are impudent like a crow, offensive and depraved. 245. Life is hard for the modest, for those who seek purity and are detached and unassuming, pure and discerning. Note: good qualities are hard won. They do not fall like rain, but emerge slowly, aided by the sweat of the brow. Getting lost is easy while staying on track. Being reliable and doing what is necessary when it is required calls for diligence and commitment that often sends the ego into resistance. 246. Those who destroy life, tell lies, take what they're not entitled to in this world, use the wife of another and, 247, habitually drink alcohol until they are drunk, such beings in this very world are cutting their own root. Note: root here refers to virtuous roots. When virtuous activity is planted in the soil of clearly seeing phenomena as they actually are, then clarity sprouts and the true path to awakening becomes visible. But if only evil, harmful actions are performed by one whose mind is toxic with the five poisons, then the sprout shrivels, and the root is cut off from its supportive ground. 248. In this way, you should know that evil habits are difficult to restrain. Do not let desire and non-dharma pull you into protracted misery. 249. People give alms according to their faith. If you become upset by the food and drink prepared by others, then in neither day nor night will you be able to settle into concentration and meditation. 250. But those who cut their hopes, root them out, and cast them away, will enter still absorption. Note: when we have a desire or an agenda and hope it will be fulfilled, we reduce our capacity to open to how life actually is. By comparing what we get with what we would prefer, we create agitation and disappointment in ourselves. Cutting off hopes, cutting off mental constructs, letting go of attachment to our sense of how others should behave brings a sense of freshness to the moment and a mood of humble gratitude for what we are given. 251. There is no fire like intense desire. Nothing grips us like fury. There is no net like opacity. There is no torrent like craving. Note: opacity is the hazy, non-transparent density of samsara, the gloom within which everything seems very real. It is the stupidity and mental dullness within which we prefer to imagine rather than to see. Nothing grips us like fury. The grip is that of the Makara, a leviathan-like sea monster with powerful jaws from which no one can escape. Once anger takes hold of us, we are not in charge, like a young rider on a wild stallion. 252. Other people's faults are easy to see. We can winnow out their faults like chaff from grain. Yet we hide our own faults like a dishonest gambler hiding an unlucky throw. 253. If one looks for other people's faults with a permanently heightened perception, then one's own taints will increase. In this way, one is far from exhausting one's own taints. 254. There is no path in the sky. The practice of virtue is not to be found outside oneself. Some find pleasure in the proliferations of the world, but the Buddhas are free of such conceptual elaborations. Note: since there is no path in the sky, no matter how long and wide you look, you will not find one. It is not there. The world is full of temptations and offers all kinds of excitements and distractions. But no matter how long you search there, you will not find a basis of spiritual practice. Ethics, discipline, concentration and meditation are all to be found only within oneself. The Buddhas are peaceful. They have seen there is nothing to find, and so they have stopped looking and are content. 255. There is no path in the sky. The practice of virtue is not to be found outside oneself. All compounded things are impermanent. The Buddhas are unwavering. Note: compounded things do not exist out with the mind. The mind compounds the traces of events, composing patterns which it holds to be real in themselves, each having their own separate existence. But these composites are mind-made. They're like an illusion, and, arising from causes, they soon vanish. The mind of the Buddha has never been constructed, never alters, and never vanishes.